let's get started. Let me introduce you to Marianne Shaw, certainly a familiar name to Central New Yorkers. Good morning, Marianne.
Well, good morning.
And welcome, and what a wonderful facility this is.
Isn't it beautiful?
Could you believe it? You know, I listened to some of the speeches on Thursday as they were getting ready to open everything, and I believe it was Dr. Dave Smith, president of Upstate, who called you the mother of the Children's Hospital. What a compliment.
I was very complimented.
You should be. And let me take you back there, because when you and I had a conversation before we got started this morning, I learned that you've actually been involved with this Children's Hospital far longer than most people even knew a Children's Hospital was in the plan. Speak to us about it.
Well, the day after my husband and I arrived here in Syracuse,
which was
August 1991,
just a few years ago,
right, I received a call from several different people and different calls asking me if I would be interested in joining a conversation about the need for a children's hospital here. And I had worked on one in Wisconsin, where we had just moved from. So I think the word got here before I did.
Uh-huh.
So they asked if I would join them. I guess I was very surprised that there was not a children's hospital here.
You know, a lot of people have been surprised that there's not mm-hmm. a children's hospital here. And I even read somewhere that Syracuse was the largest city in the country that didn't have a children's hospital. But that's all changed now, hasn't it?
That's all changed.
Well, you know, there was this wonderful publication that came out in the newspaper on Thursday, the day the hospital opened. And I just want to read you a paragraph from it, because it seems to me you get half the responsibility for this paragraph, okay? It says, thanks to extraordinary community support and the visionary pediatric experts at Upstate Medical University, we now have a children's hospital that is out of this world, exactly what our kids deserve. Isn't that a wonderful statement?
Wonderful.
And you get the credit for the extraordinary community support. Let's talk about that, because you were the chief fundraiser.
Well, I actually was quite honored to be involved in different steps. We put together a steering committee where we had people from the hospital, university hospital, and the community to talk about what do we want this children's hospital to be. What's the atmosphere that we want?
More than just a medical atmosphere, you wanted
right.
something for kids.
That's right. We wanted something for children. So that was a joyous thing for me to be involved in. And then we had, of course, to write the bylaws, and then all of a sudden we're raising money for it. And that was so exciting.
Well, you know, it strikes me, they talk about Hollywood starlets becoming overnight successes. And I almost think of the Children's Hospital in much the same way. It's like people were talking, people were donating, and then all of a sudden, we have this wonderful, wonderful facility. And I don't know if you have that impression, because you've been working on it so hard all along.
Well, I actually do have that same impression. And this today, I arrive here and I have tears in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. It's hard not to choke up.
Yeah.
It's hard not to walk around and see just everyone, including the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's kind of where you started, wasn't it, when you started
right.
the fundraising? Talk to us about how the employees supported.
Well, the employee support from Upstate, from the university, was absolutely incredible. Something we had not actually thought was going to happen.
Really?
That energy, I mean, we had no idea the outpouring that was going to come. It was the energy, it was the inspiration, it was the love, it was the caring. And the hospital employees, and that's everybody,
mm-hmm.
whether you're a physician, a nurse, working on staff somewhere, driving a bus, whatever, those people together raised 23% of the campaign.
Which I think is an incredible
number. Amazing.
And your campaign, I think you started with a goal of $15 million.
Right.
But you raised 20, you tell me.
Well, we raised $21.5 million.
That's just an astounding number, and the employees were 23% of that.
Yeah.
Now talk to me about some of the fun things that went on. There were children's groups participating,
yes.
and parent groups. Talk to me about some of those.
Well, some of the fun things that would happen would be school children getting together and having little parties,
uh-huh.
and you know, we want to raise money. They would wash cars, they would sell things, they would decide that they were just going to have fun. One of the really cool things I thought was little children who were having birthday parties, who decided
yes.
instead of bringing a gift, we want you to make a donation.
And you know, some of those children have been walking around this weekend seeing,
right.
And you have to wonder, do they really get, or will they have to be adults before they truly understand the role they played in building this fine children's hospital?
Well, the interesting thing about the children was they got the picture right away. We did not have to explain to them at all why we needed a children's hospital here.
Isn't that wonderful?
They got it.
They did. That is great. And you know, it isn't even just them. Now, there are many of those children who will benefit when they need to. The hospital will be here for them. But this hospital was not just built for today's children. It was built for future generations.
Right.
You and I both have grandchildren.
Right.
I would love to think that if my children, my grandchildren needed to be in the hospital, they could be right here. And you too.
Right.
Now you've seen it.
It's fabulous.
It's fabulous. We have about 30 seconds. Is there anything you can think that you would like to say to the community?
Well, I really want to extend my sincere, deepest, heartfelt thanks to everybody in this community. Everybody made it happen.
They really did. Well, Marianne Shaw, Chair of Fundraising for Golisano Children's Hospital, thanks so much for coming by this morning. We're glad we could find you.
My pleasure.
And it is time for a quick break. Listeners, when we come back, we'll bring you much more from the opening of the new Golisano Children's Hospital. This is Upstate Medical University's Health Link on air on 570 WSYR. Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate, having a blast here at the opening of the Golisano Children's Hospital. But you know, to understand the value of almost anything, it's useful to gain some perspective. And while most of us have an understanding, a basic understanding of how valuable this children's hospital will be, our understanding is about to be multiplied with my next guest. I'd like to welcome the gentleman who's become kind of our children's hospital historian of sorts, Dr. Howard Weinberger. Good morning, Dr. Howard Weinberger.
Good morning.
We're so glad you're here. You really do bring perspective. We got talking before we started turning on the microphones. What used to be where the children's hospital is now?
Well, right on the corner, where the corner of Irving and East Adams Street, was a state psychiatric hospital.
Okay.
It was part of the teaching program of Upstate Medical Center.
Uh-huh.
And medical students would go into that hospital for their training for psychiatry. That was before Hutchings was built.
I see.
But as I mentioned to you before, Irving Avenue was actually a private street. It was lined with private homes all the way from Weiscotton Hall all the way down to Genesee Street. It was a lovely street. In the springtime, all the trees would flower, and it was really a great place to live. And as a medical student, I lived in one of the houses on Irving Avenue. It was number 714, which was directly across from the Krause parking garage, as it is right now.
Right, because now we have hospitals, we have parking garages, all kinds of things
right.
on that street.
That's right.
But they were houses.
Yeah, they were all private homes. And many medical students actually lived in homes, either rented apartments or sublet an apartment on that street. So when I was a medical student, I lived right on that street.
Wow. And walked to school and work every day.
Right. That's right. That's right.
That is fabulous. You were here about a year ago. We talked about a gentleman named Dr. Julius Richmond, who had died at the time. But he was really one of the movers and shakers that got pediatrics going in Central New York.
Well, he was the first full-time chair of the Department of Pediatrics. Came here from Chicago in the early 1950s. And he really basically began building the department as a full-time department. There had been a number of pediatricians in the community who were teachers before him, but he was a full-time chair. And at that time, the State University had taken over the medical school. And so they were trying to develop more full-time faculty.
They were. You know, one of the themes that we have on the show on a regular basis is that children are not just small adults. And that was actually the early recognition of that, wasn't it?
Well, Dr. Richmond was one of those early pioneers in pediatric education. He really was a specialty, and his specialty was development, child development. He used to say that child development was the basic science of pediatrics, and that was something I learned as a student with him.
And then over the years, you watched as pediatrics began to specialize. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that happened more when Dr. Frank Oskey arrived in the 70s. Frank was a hematology oncologist, and our department was a pretty strong department at the time, but he really pushed for developing a number of different subspecialties, and we really branched out in those years between, say, 1972 and the mid-80s when he left.
And what kinds of specialties were they? Certainly, if he was an oncologist, that would be children's cancer.
Right.
But what other kinds of specialties came in at that time?
Well, we were interested, of course, in pediatric neurology. Pediatric cardiology had already begun in Syracuse even before Frank got here. Gastroenterology was developed, pulmonary disease, all of the specialities that we're seeing now.
Metabolic diseases?
That was actually one of the interests of one of our full-time faculty, yes. That's
very
right.
Interesting. Yeah. At what point did the discussions of actually establishing a children's hospital begin? Do you remember those days?
Well, it's hard to remember the day, the day it happened, but I guess when Frank was here, he had come from a number of different children's hospitals where he did his training. And he made the point over and over again that in a children's hospital, the care of the children is the primary focus for everybody, not just the docs and the nurses, but everybody, the lab techs, the phlebotomists, the housekeeping,
therapists.
Even the housekeeping folks who are very, very important in the amenities of a children's hospital. And so he made that point early in the 70s. And I think that was as early as I could recall, right?
And actually, you were an interim chair for a little while, right?
Well, I was interim chair, and then I was chair. And
You were.
Yeah.
Excellent. And talk to us about those days.
Yeah, so there was a period in the early 90s where, again, I think we introduced the concept. There was a lot of community support at the time. The various hospitals were kind of jockeying as to where it would be held, it be at Krauss or Krauss Hospital or University Hospital. And I think, again, it was incremental change in attitude. And the timing just wasn't right in the 90s. We weren't quite right.
But then we transitioned, obviously, to where we did start putting emphasis on it. And we now have this fine children's hospital. What do you hope for the future of the children's hospital?
Well, I think once people see the kind of services that are available, we are going to be much more successful in bringing pediatric subspecialists in a variety of different ways, surgical subspecialists to come to work there, pediatric radiologists. It's very important for those subspecialty physicians to know that there's a critical mass of patient care that they will have to deal with.
Right. And when they're there in such a fine facility, families will bring their children from all over the region, won't they?
Well, we do already. I think
at
least half of the patients who are admitted to our service come from outside of Onondaga County already. So we're building on, you know, that history. And we do reach out. We already have some satellite programs in Binghamton and up in the North Country, which I think are very well received. So I do think we see ourselves as a resource for the entire Central New York community.
Absolutely. And I think that's absolutely true. And that's actually been a theme this morning, that this isn't just one building. It's actually an attitude and services that are all over the region. Well, Dr. Howard Weinberger, thank you so much for coming by this morning. It's been a treat having you here. Please do stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.